Homajnanatimadannasyajnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmuditam dhena tasmai shri gurave namah.
This is from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 66. Also, if you'd like, you can repeat. Sarvadharman pratyaja mamikam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami mashuchaha. Translation: abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion: knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Supersoul, knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many ways different types of religion. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the seventh chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso guptritve varanam tata atma nikshepa karpanye shadvidha sharanagati. According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order, but if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes of cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attracted to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted by the super-soul feature, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Karma yogis Empiric philosophers, mystics, and devotees are all called transcendentalists, but one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. The particular words used here, ma shuchaha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna, but such worry is useless. So this is a very instructive verse. It's an invitation from Krishna himself that if we surrender to him, he'll protect us, and that we shouldn't worry. So if an ordinary person makes such an offer, we might doubt it. We might think, what's the string that's attached to this? And maybe there's some motive. And also, can somebody from the ordinary world actually do so much good for us? Because ultimately people are fallible. But if one cultivates knowledge of who Krishna is and understands that his Shakti is unlimited, he can do anything. In fact, this is the definition of Krishna. He's omnipotent, omniscient. And not only that, he's, as he declares himself in the Bhagavad Gita, the friend of all living entities. So why wouldn't he want to help us out? And if one begins to understand that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he's Krishna, and then one's mind turns toward this idea of surrender to Krishna, then one's life becomes very exciting. Otherwise, we become responsible for all our own progress in life. And that's very burdensome, because no matter how powerful we may be, we might have been born with a lot of money, or we may have developed wealth over time because of our intelligence, or we may be very beautiful, or we may have a famous family name, or not. We may be insignificant, but we may at the same time think ourselves significant. In any of these cases, whatever we do on our own is subject to failure, because ultimately in the material world, we're working against the powerful wheel of time, which, as Prahlad Maharaj says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nishpijamanam upakarsha vibho prapanam. It is like a crushing wheel. It crushes everything that's put inside it. And we're in that crushing process. If one comes to realize one's own insignificance or helplessness, and then realizes that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he's all-powerful, and that he's our friend, and begins to think about surrendering to Krishna, then Krishna, from within our own hearts, will give us intelligence about how to do that. We needn't worry about how it will be executed in the end. We have to apply our sincerity, our sincere effort to surrender to Krishna. We can even ask him, please allow me to be one of those who surrenders to you, who takes up your offer in the Bhagavad Gita. And even thinking about this is satisfying to the heart, because our nature is that we're eternal servants of Krishna. And my only difficulty in life is thinking otherwise. If I consider that I'm the controller, or as we go through the list of processes of surrender, one of the processes of surrender is to consider that Krishna is my maintainer. If I consider this and see that everything I'm doing comes from Krishna, then I lift such a burden from my head that I'm maintaining myself. I can do my duty. I can do whatever I can with whatever I have, but I needn't worry about the ultimate result, because that's being provided by Krishna. And Prahlad, Narada Muni says in the Bhagavatam, tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido na labhyate tad brahmatam uparyada. Talabhyate dukavaranyata sukham kalina sarvatra gabhira ramhasa. He says you needn't try so hard to maintain yourself in this world and try to position yourself in such a way that you'll get some benefit from the material nature. He says because whatever situations you're going to get in this world, are predestined on the material side. And therefore, he says, what you should really do is put your energy into surrendering to Krishna. And as you do so, you'll notice unprecedented advancement in life. Those who surrender to Krishna become known as exalted souls. Those who surrender to Krishna become filled with spiritual energy. And because Krishna is there within the heart, giving them intelligence how to come to him. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipuravakam danami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. If someone sincerely tries to surrender, Krishna says, then I give him all intelligence. And he says in another place in the ninth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, yoga kshema mahamyaham. This means that I'll personally maintain that person who's fully absorbed in my service. Ananyaschintayanto mam yejana pariupasite tesham nityabhyukdanam yoga kshema mahamyaham. He says that ananyaschintayanto. If you direct your thoughts, your consciousness towards how to serve Krishna, then Krishna says, then I'll personally take care of you. It's actually already taking care of all living entities, as the Vedas themselves proclaim, nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam ekobahanam yovididhati kama. The one supreme eternal is maintaining the plurality of eternal fragmental parts. And you can see it in nature. Just look at the squirrels. In the wintertime, they get a new coat. They don't have to go shopping. They don't have to buy insurance either for their house. They live outside, but they find a place to live. And they also have designated food. In my neighborhood, during the autumn season, the persimmons come out of the tree. And the squirrels go up and take a persimmon. They sit on the fence and they eat the whole thing. And then they sit there with a big, huge belly, just digesting. I always inquire from them, you know, how's life out there? And they go, it's no problem. I mean, there's problems always in material life. But for them, their livelihood is already allotted and guaranteed. So the Shastra says, and so do the Acharyas, if the animals are being maintained, wouldn't the human being also be maintained? Who knows? Why don't you try it? Krishna says, why don't you take a shot at it? Narada Muni says, give it a shot. You can't lose. Even if you jump for that and you start moving in that direction, but then you back off. He said, just because you move forward, you took that little effort, he said, that remains eternally on your record. What to speak of the fact if you could sustain it and keep moving forward? So this is actually exciting life. Exciting life means the life of internal surrender, that I'm considering myself a servant of Krishna and I'm putting myself more and more in his hands. And I'm leaving things up to Krishna. I do my due diligence. I do everything I possibly can to serve Krishna properly. And I also maintain whatever I need to maintain. If you have to sign a paper because you need insurance on your house, sign it. Doesn't mean surrender to Krishna that you don't sign the paper. Sign it. It's there. Do what you have to do. But put it all in Krishna's hands and realize that if Krishna desires, then everything will go according to plan. And if not, and it usually doesn't, never does go according to my plan, then it's Krishna's will. Prahlad Maharaj says this, Balasyaneham sharanam pitarao na shringha nartasya chaganam udhanvati majito nao taptasya tap pratividir yai hanjisheshtas tavad vibo tanubritam twadupikshitanam. He says that parents cannot save their children. The doctor cannot, with his medicine, save a patient. And a boat on the water cannot save a drowning man unless the Lord sanctions it. And Prahlad Maharaj goes on to say that, he implies, as Prabhupada brings out in his purport, that everyone can do their due diligence. It's not that parents don't try to take care of their children. But we should understand the ultimate protection comes from Krishna. If it's not sanctioned by him, it won't happen. So the more we see this and the more we take shelter of Krishna, then the happier we become. and the more progressive and exciting our life becomes. So Srila Prabhupada was such a surrendered soul to Krishna. You see him in his later life. We see pictures of him, and we have the deities of Prabhupada in his Paramahamsa stage of life. He came to America and successfully then went all over the world and spread Krishna consciousness. And before that, we might also look and see at what his life was like. He at some point was a householder. When he met his Guru Maharaj, first time he wasn't even interested in seeing any gurus. Because during his childhood, his father, who was a pure devotee, used to invite all kinds of holy men to come to the house. And he would ask them, "You just please bless my son that he'll become a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani." And Prabhupada, in his youth, had seen all kinds of charlatans. In fact, his father used to keep some ganja to take care of, to satisfy many of the sadhus who came to the house. You'd give him a hookah and let him smoke ganja, because you're supposed to take care of your guests when they come. So he would do that, and there were so many that came. Gaur Mohan Day did not discriminate so much. He considered all potential blessers of his son. Nonetheless, as Prabhupada was growing up, he was involved in Gandhi's movement to emancipate India from British rule, and he was engaged in his studies. He just started family life, and his friend came to him and said, "You have to come and meet this guru. He's representing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement very brilliantly." And Prabhupada said his friend dragged him there against his will. But as with most genuine spiritual meetings, Prabhupada had a transformation as soon as he came into the presence of his guru. He knew instantly, because Krishna is, of course, in our hearts. And when we meet a truly spiritual person, then Krishna confirms within the heart, "This is it. You should surrender here." He gives us the opportunity. And if one is sincere, then one will recognize that and become jubilant that I found the person that can direct me in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada had such an experience. He came in, and as is the custom in India, as children are trained to offer their obeisances, and as Prabhupada came from a very pious family, he offered his obeisances to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And before he could even come back up again, his guru had already assessed that this is a future stalwart in devotional service. He marked him as a leader, and he was already giving him instruction by the time he sat back up again, that you should take this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very seriously and help to spread it all over the world. Prabhupada argued with his guru, his future guru. He had felt that India needed to become free from British rule before it could actually influence the rest of the world with its spirituality. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had pointed out to him that actually there's no material impediment to spiritual life. And we find this, that everybody who comes to the Krishna consciousness movement, no matter how pious they may be, and people aren't that pious in the age of Kali, there's always complications. If you've ever experienced complications in your life, and especially as you come into the Krishna consciousness movement, if you experience that there's complications, this is normal. Because getting out of the material world is not such an easy thing. It's a very sticky place. And so Prabhupada was saying that, you know, we need to untangle things first, then we can spread Krishna consciousness. And as Guru Maharaj pointed out, that actually the real system is to go right to the process of surrendering to Krishna. Then the complications can be undone. In fact, Prabhupada wrote about this later. If you fast forward to the time when Prabhupada was coming across the ocean, you can see from that momentous time when Prabhupada first met his guru, and then decades later, when he was actually able to, as he says, execute the order properly, said, "It took me so long to be able to do this. on his ride on the Jaladuta, which was a harrowing ride. It was not a comfortable ship. It wasn't luxury travel. He suffered greatly on the ship. He had heart attacks. And he wrote about his experiences there. And his great hope in coming into America, and the tenor of his poetry as he came into the port of Boston, touching the American continent for the very first time, was that which he imbibed from his guru. And that was, take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna. Krishne svadhamo pagate dharma ganadi visaha kalo nashta dhrishamesha purar narko dhanodita. Just after Lord Krishna departed to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc., the Srimad Bhagavatam appeared, just like the brilliant sun, to give light to everybody. It's all blissful, all perfect, and all successful. Idam Bhagavatam nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishaya Shaya Loka Shadhanam Swastayanam Mahat. The glorification of the Bhagavatam never ends, because it is the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literatures. If you look at a tree, you think, what's the purpose of a tree? Well, the purpose of the tree, in the tree's mind, if I may be so bold, is to produce a fruit. And now all the Vedas are presented and by Srila Vyasadeva, but the fruit of the Vedas is declared in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpataro galitam palam shukamukaram rita drava samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavaka. That this Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the mature fruit on the tree of Vedic literature. It's no ordinary fruit, though. It doesn't have all the skin on the outside that you have to deal with. It also doesn't have any fiber inside. It's already in a form that you can just drink, like a fruit you can take from a tree and you don't have to peel it or anything like that. It's already in the form of like a smoothie. You can just drink it. And it's nectarian beverage. Enlivens the soul. In fact, it intoxicates us. This is the kind of intoxication we're looking for. And within the fruit, there's also a seed that can be spread, that can regenerate other trees so that people can take advantage of it. In fact, the Bhagavatam itself declares that the highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. So the highest truth has to be not only pointing to what's real and what's not, for the but it also has to be for the benefit of all. So Srila Prabhupada had imbibed all of these principles from his guru, and that the only resort for the living entity and for human society in general is to become re-spiritualized, and the main means to do so is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So as he came into Boston Harbor, he was writing about how the Srimad Bhagavatam was the panacea, that by hearing the Bhagavatam, people would gradually rise above the three modes of material nature, and they would be able to taste the real nectar of life. And he was wondering, how will this happen? This is the intrigue of those who have surrendered to Sri Krishna, especially through his incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's an active kind of surrender. We have the opportunity to actually do something. We have the opportunity to take up some activity as a demonstration of our surrender to Krishna by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gives us particular activities that we can do with our senses, using our mind, the kind of assets that we have, whether it's wealth or whether it's intelligence or whether it's a deep sense of compassion or connections. All these things can be used for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada had imbibed from his guru all of these principles, and please put yourself in this situation where you have a Jaladuta to board. Will you get on that ship? Everybody, Prabhupada had his, but we all have that defining moment. In fact, we have many defining moments. At every moment we can decide whether to surrender to Krishna or not. And the great opportunity of the Sankirtan movement is afforded to us when we're given an opportunity to take a risk, just as Prabhupada took a risk, to fulfill the order of his guru, which was, go spread this in the Western world. How would you possibly do that with no money? Mm-hmm. And how would you possibly do it without any connections? If you were to pick a city somewhere in, anywhere in, where would you go? In England somewhere, where no one had ever been before. What is your name?
My name.
Oh, I was pointing to him, but either one, since you said. You say, what's your name?
Sadbuj
Chaitanya? What a nice name. So let's pick a place for Sadbuj Chaitanya Prabhu that nobody else has ever been before. Where is that? Anybody know England?
Shetland Islands.
Prabhu, you're going to the Shetland Islands? And really think about this. What would you do if you were asked to go to the Shetland Islands and just start over? I mean, Prabhupada came to America and he didn't know exactly how it was going to happen. You can see that from his poetry. As he was coming in, he's asking Krishna, how are you going to make this work? I know you're going to make it work, I'm just not sure how you're going to do it. But Prabhupada stuck to the very basic things. He chanted Hare Krishna, depended on the power of the holy name, which is declared in the Bhagavatam, apana samsritin gauram yannama vivashogranam tata sadyo vimucheta yabhibheti swayambayam. Non-different from Krishna. There's no difference whatsoever between Krishna and his name. And that if there's any fearful situation, the verse says, take shelter of the holy name, no one else, nothing else. Because the name is feared by fear personified. So Prabhupada had this abiding faith in the holy name, and then he came and he took advantage of a little open space in the park. Even they moved him along. They said, no, you can't sit here. You move over here. So he humbly moved under that tree that's in Thompson Square Park, and he started chanting. And then he held open classes in Bhagavad Gita. He just started teaching what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita and presenting what he had heard from his guru. And from that, the energies collected. Different devotees came. Prabhupada took every opportunity to keep moving forward by starting a non-profit organization, International Center for Krishna Consciousness. And he just assumed at every step that Lord Chaitanya would support him as he moved forward. And step by step, even amidst so much clamor and so many reversals, the movement surged ahead. So technically speaking, we're really at the beginning of this movement. We're still in the pioneering stage practically. And even though it's a lot more comfortable for us because we have an organization and it seems as if things are, and they are, if you just come to the temple once in a while, you can take advantage of the fact that there are deities, there's prasadam, there's kirtan, there's a structure. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada ask us to do more. They invite us, in fact, to take advantage of Lord Krishna's edict, surrender to me, by taking advantage of Lord Chaitanya's order, which is become a guru and try to deliver everybody. Anywhere you go, everyone you meet, try to teach them Krishna consciousness. This is the zone of surrender in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement that is spoken about by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, just surrender unto me. And so one of the most satisfying activities that one can take part in is the Sankirtan process. It doesn't matter where you live. In fact, we find all over the world that devotees who live in homes, who have jobs, who have families and so forth, who take up services going out into the great unknown world, where you don't know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. Meeting people and offering them Krishna consciousness, they blossom in their own consciousness as they take that risk for Krishna. And they also meet people who become interested in Krishna consciousness, and when they do, they find themselves with a new responsibility, and that is, how am I going to inspire this person? It's like, if any of you ever have kids, anybody here have kids? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So when you have a kid, then immediately you have to start thinking about how am I acting, what am I speaking, because the kids watch you and they go, oh, okay, I'll do that too. They absorb everything. And similarly, when you meet people and as you're teaching Krishna consciousness, they'll attach themselves to you. And then you have to become a guru devotee. Prabhupada writes about this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, everyone in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement has to become a guru devotee. Means you have to take responsibility for bringing other people along. So this is where the great excitement and advancement in devotional service is. And it's very practical because we have books that you can take out. Boxes of books you can order. Previously you had to write these things by hand on palm leaves. But now due to high-speed printing, which we take for granted, that, oh, it's just a book. Books are rare commodities in most ages. We just happen to be in a little technological bubble right now where we can get anything we want. But the best of what we can get is transcendental knowledge packaged in various forms, electronically and also in the form of books. And by taking those and distributing them, one becomes perfectly aligned with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to take Krishna consciousness out to the world, and very much in line with the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who instructed our founder Acharya, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, at Radhakund's no less, when he asked his guru, did Srila Prabhupada, he said, what can I do to help you and your mission? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him at that time that if you ever get money, print books. He said, I like this distribution of literature because he had experience that he had built a huge temple in Bagh Bazar. And after it was built, the senior members of his organization, sannyasis, renunciates, were fighting over who got to stay on which floor, who deserved which room, and so forth. And this very much disgusted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wanted a mood of surrender and of going out and preaching, and he said, when we were in the slums of Ultadanga, a very depressed part of Calcutta, we were all living hand to mouth. They could barely have enough to eat, but they were all going out with the preaching spirit. He would say, we were better off in Ultadanga. And so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave the same spirit to Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, future Acharya, Iviskan, founder Acharya. And he inculcated this into his followers. He told us constantly that we should be in this mood of giving. And he very specifically emphasized the distribution of his literature. So those who keep a transcendental literature in their homes, in their cars, and in their purses, in their attaché cases as they're going to work, and think of ways in which to make them available to people, experience an extraordinary connection with Lord Chaitanya, with Srila Prabhupada, and they find that their lives become stimulated. So this is the best part of the Krishna consciousness movement, the part where that is fully available, where you can experience rapid advancement in devotional service and the kind of cutting-edge excitement that you won't get anywhere else, becoming involved in Sankirtan. Remember the sacrifice that Prabhupada made, and in your own way, following his footsteps, feel free to make a sacrifice. Because if you do that, then you'll find yourself feeling enlivened, satisfied, and happy. As Lord Rishabhadeva says, Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shud yed yasmad brahma saukyam tvanantam. Is that human life is not meant for a life of ease. Don't try to find comfort here. You won't find it. He said, but if you look for sacrifice through the process of yajna, then you'll feel satisfied. So these are things you all know, but it's my duty to just tell you what the mood that I picked up from the time that I was with Prabhupada starting in 1973. I was there, I felt it, I saw it, I heard him. It's also recorded. And when I was with Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, one of my dear godbrothers, in Philadelphia about 5 years ago, we were starting a Sankirtan party there. And some temples, become sidetracked, their Sankirtan program, it goes dormant for some time, then someone will come along. There were a couple of devotees there, Dainu Tarpitapur and Samyudatri, who decided that to help to revive the Sankirtan party more than it had been there. And so they were taking charge and responsibility, I should say, to develop the program. They needed, you need certain things to develop a business. Any business people in here? Anybody do business? You're cool as a business person. You got to have stuff. She's done business for over 34 years successfully. And so you have to, there's stuff you have to do to make your business work. So they were looking around, seeing the ways they could develop the temple. They needed a new book room. They needed to get certain titles shipped from the BBT. They needed to put up certain signs in the temple to inform people what was going on. There's a lot. There's a long list, and it keeps growing when you do business. Business means busyness. So they were doing all that, and we needed to talk to Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, who was the temple president at the time. So we had a council meeting in the temple. And so we had this long list of things we needed to requisition from the temple. And we were thinking, like, they'll never give us all this stuff. I mean, it's way too much to ask, but you might as well try, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so we were asking all these things. Rabindra Prabhu was sitting right to my left, and Dainu Tarpitapur was reading the list. He said, we need this, we need a book room, which is a big thing. It's taking up huge space in the temple. They needed to have special space allocated. Space is rare and valuable. He said, yes, yes, yes. He just kept saying yes. And I turned to him and I said, wow, it's amazing. You're really into this. And he almost, with some force in his voice, he turned to me and said, I was there. I saw Prabhupada. I heard what he said. I know what he wants. He said that, I'm not unaware of the fact that he wanted us to emphasize book distribution. For years he had had a reputation that, oh, he doesn't like book distribution. He didn't like certain ways that it was being done, but his heart was fully into it. And when he saw a new wave of book distribution happening in a way that he could accommodate, he gave his whole heart and soul to helping to expand that locally. And then that's why later on I asked him, because he's a great scholar and a dear godbrother. But then when I heard what he had in his heart for book distribution, and knowing what his reputation had been among some people that, like, he wasn't so into book distribution, I asked him to write the foreword to my book so that he could express fully. And you can read that foreword. I mean, first of all, he's maybe the most brilliant writer in ISKCON. His thoughts are so lucid. And you listen to the spirit of what he says in the introduction to Our Family Business. He wrote that foreword. I didn't even know what he was going to say. I took a risk. You take a risk when you ask somebody to write a foreword because they can't unwrite it and you can't uninvite them after you ask them. And it was so powerful what he wrote, that this is so much needed, this spirit of Sankirtan, of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls, of making a sacrifice in our own life to help other people. And this is what Lord Shiva says in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest kind of practice of devotional service. Tapyante lokatapena sarva prayasojana. He says, parama aradhanam. Aradhanam means service. And so he says, parama aradhanam tadi purushasyakilatmana. The highest service that one can perform in one's life to satisfy Krishna. What's the highest kind of tapasya that one can perform? And that is to disturb oneself, to take some sacrifice oneself for the benefit of others who are suffering in ignorance in the world. This is the highest kind of sacrifice. This is confirmed by all our acharyas. You can't replicate the kind of service that one does by going out, for instance, and distributing a few books, with going to the Himalaya and sitting in fire for during the hottest time of the year. You may not have to go Himalaya hot time of the year. That's hot enough here now. You just start a little barbecue out in the front and sit next to it. That's not pleasing to Krishna, that kind of austerity. Or freezing water up to your neck in the wintertime. It's insignificant. What pleases Krishna is when one does good for others. Para upakara means give people a chance to chant Hare Krishna. See what their faces look like when the first time they hear a Hare Krishna chant. And put a book in their hands. Let it go in their house. And for those who are open to taking Srimad Bhagavatam in their home, take time, take an hour or 2 hours to convince them that you should have this in your home. I don't have any room. I can't put the Srimad Bhagavatam in my house. Show them where there is space in their house. You can move out the television. You won't die without television. But you will die without the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if one takes up this mood of sacrifice for the Sankirtan movement, even according to one's capacity, even if you do for 5 minutes every week or once a month, you take half an hour to do this work, you'll find that Krishna reciprocates from within your heart. And you're following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who came on the Jaladuta with no money, no connections, and only Srimad Bhagavatams. Big cases of Srimad Bhagavatams. That's how he charged into America with his books and the holy name. And that's what, when we take that upon ourselves to our own capacity, in whatever way that we can, then we'll feel so intimately connected with Srila Prabhupada, because that was his mood. And Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially embraces those who make this kind of sacrifice. And like our hosts tonight, they're opening their home. They could be sitting here peacefully enjoying a pizza, watching Netflix or whatever. But they're having devotees in their home. It's a sacrifice for the Sankirtan movement. And the more we sacrifice our space and our money and our time and our so-called comfort in the world to sacrifice for the Sankirtan movement and spread it, the more Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally takes care of us and gives us solace from the onslaught of the complexities and miseries of the material world. So this London Yatra is on the verge of exploding into the onto the world scene as the largest distributor of Krishna consciousness in the world. Your Rath Yatra yesterday is unparalleled. 16,000 plates of prasadam were served. That takes a Herculean effort by so many people. And I saw thousands of devotees converge. They were coming in on the subways. It looked like London was being taken over by the devotees. And that's how it should look. We should be everywhere, organizing ourselves from where we live in our houses and those who live in the temple to systematically cover the entire city so that everyone has a chance to come in contact with the Sri Ashupanishad, with the Bhagavad Gita, with the Srimad Bhagavatam, with some prasadam, with the association of devotees. And this was the life that Srila Prabhupada envisioned for his devotees, because he knew that that would put them squarely at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who says, Sarva dharman parityaja, mame kam sharanam braja, antam sarva papi bhyo moksha ishnavi masucha. Don't worry about a thing, just do sankirtan, and your life will be happy. Go premanande haribo! And that would take a few reflections. Anything that you heard that you thought was a concept, an idea that you could put in your pocket and you'll take out of here. When you get home, you'll open it up, brush it off a little bit, look at it and say, yeah, maybe I can use that. What's the one thought, concept, idea that you heard from the purport or from the monologue that that you're able to use? Reflect back.
The whole concept or the idea of Srila Prabhupada imbibing the mood of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta.
The concept of his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, imbibing the mood of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta.
And it is not a coincidence, it was divine arrangement that not on one occasion.
It's not a coincidence, it was divine arrangement that not on one occasion.
But on many occasions. When Srila Prabhupada met with his spiritual master. The same thing was emphasized
by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta.
That if you ever get money print books.
So this whole thing really resonates
because if that's the mood of our Acharya.
This resonates because if this is the mood of our Acharya.
Then there should not be anything to stop us.
Then there should not be anything to stop us.
To take this service wholeheartedly.
To take this service wholeheartedly.
Recently in a class in Vrindavan. His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj. Was asked this question.
By devotee.
That what is the quickest way? To progress in spiritual life. Jayadvaita Maharaj responded saying that. There are many ways. But the quickest way. Is to go out and distribute.
Srila Prabhupada's books. There you have it. You know, if you ask the senior devotees who are around Prabhupada, they'll tell you the same thing. This was Prabhupada's mood. And it's very practical. You know, book distribution is something that is very practical because books are a single unit. And you can pick it up. Books are amazing. It has so much, there's so much potential in one book. I mean, one book, like books that got into the former Soviet Union, they caused havoc. In fact, I wrote about this in my book, in the history of Russia, of the Soviet Union opening up. Devotees tried every which way to smuggle books into the country. In fact, when Prabhupada first went to the former Soviet Union, he accidentally took in a Bhagavad Gita. In fact, it was Malati. You know Malati and Shamasundar? Were married at the time. Malati is a very kind of
adventurous
person, and she has no fear. I mean, she went with her kid to London from San Francisco, and they lived in somebody's garage. Their home was a big refrigerator box. That's what they lived in for a while, just so, because they had nowhere to stay. They had no money. In any case, she threw a Bhagavad Gita into Shamasundar's luggage. It's illegal. You can't do that. Somehow or other, when they went across the border and the customs guards were, agents were looking through their luggage, they picked up the Bhagavad Gita. What is this? But there were a bunch of pictures inside it. It was in use by the by Malati, and the pictures all fell out on the floor. And in that flurry of activity, the custom agent spaced it out, and he's didn't think to look at the Gita. He was just sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I wrecked all your pictures. So he was picking them up and put it back in the Gita and just go ahead. That Gita snuck in to the former Soviet Union. And miraculously, and you could read about this from Shamasundar's book, this is a true miracle. And these things happened, and they still happen when people go out on Sankirtan. And that was that one day when Shamasundar was out, he met two young men. And two Russians, and he invited them to come back to Prabhupada's hotel suite. And one of them was very sincere and interested. He was just open to hearing. And Prabhupada preached to him intensely for several days, trying to give him a lifetime of teachings of Krishna consciousness in 3 days. And they also left that Bhagavad Gita there. That Bhagavad Gita got copied by hand multiple times, and it started spreading all over, and a movement started from that book. That the books themselves have so much potential. One book that goes into a place where people are hungry for this kind of knowledge can actually transform an entire society. And that's exactly what happened. And finally, when Perestroika happened, there were underground printings of Prabhupada's books. The devotees at risk of their life, and some of them were actually tortured and killed for printing books. You can read about it in the book called Salted Bread. Some of them, they were so willing, they were willing to die for this. Actually, this is how movements start. The Christian movement in the early days, the Christians were so convicted in their faith that when they were being threatened to be killed, they were considered a dangerous cult and subversive to the government. They would feed them to the lions. But the reason Christianity started to spread so much is because people saw they're willing to die for their beliefs. They would rather die and be killed because they believe so strongly than to give in to the government's demands and say they're apostates and give up their religion. And so people said, yeah, there must be something in this. It had a reverse effect. It spread. And in Russia, the devotees were so convicted in the power of Krishna consciousness, and they considered these books to be so valuable They kept them as their life and soul. They copied them. They started underground printing presses to copy them and to get them out secret in society. You would be jailed. You would be tortured. You would be put in mental hospitals and experimented upon. Your brain ruined by all kinds of experimental drugs by the government. They're so demoniac at that time. And so devotees were trying to smuggle books in. They would drop books off of bridges barges were going into Russia from distant places so that somehow or other the books would get in there. And when Perestroika came, Gorbachev, he started opening things up. There was a freedom of religion thing that happened. The devotees brought in a huge truck full of Bhagavad Gitas in Russian. And then they got held up at the border because everyone hadn't heard about this new law. So the devotees had to go demonstrate in front of the government building for a week, huge demonstrations to release our books. Said, we don't want vodka, we want our books. And finally they released the books. And according to the devotees who were there at the time, this is what started the revolution in Russia. This is how Krishna... When those books came out of that truck and started infiltrating Russia, Krishna consciousness spread like wildfire. You can read all about these things. This is not something made up. This is happening. Now, in some of these Western countries, people feel a little more comfortable. We're okay. In fact, if you show Bhagavad Gita to some people, they'll say, oh, I'm okay. It's not true. You're not okay. You're not okay. No, neither is the society. We're hanging by a thread. Everybody's hanging by a thread. And the whole society's hanging by a thread. Any one event can change... everything can drastically change at any minute. And as we remember the rarity of these books and the importance of the opportunity we have and take advantage of it, we'll become more and more successful. That was a long response to a nice reflection. Please, a couple more. Yes.
As much as we sacrifice
our so-called comfort,
that much Lord Chaitanya will take care of us
personally. Yes. Yeah. And we say so-called comfort because we're not really... The idea of holding on to comfort in this world is uncomfortable in and of itself because there's no way to really secure our comfort. What else? Yes, Nirpula?
The idea of each of us catching our own Jaladutta.
The idea of us each catching our own Jaladutta. You know, there's a moment, opportunities that will come to us. In fact, in a lifetime of surrender, if we keep ourselves ready for opportunities to surrender, then we can jump from one stone to the next as we're crossing towards the spiritual world. It comes in those times when we prepare ourselves to courageously jump when the opportunity is offered to us. Don't hesitate, go for it. Take the opportunity, move forward. That's really the only comfort in life. So find your Jaladutta. What is your Jaladutta? It may not be the same as Prabhupada's, it won't be. But everybody has that. This is open to everybody to enter into that realm of courageousness, of taking a risk. For Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what makes this movement vibrant. What else? Yes?
I was thinking about this feel free to surrender.
So Jadarani was saying feel free
to make a sacrifice.
Don't be held back by anything. Yes?
So this helplessness, you know, to allow yourself to be helpless.
Feel helpless.
To make a sacrifice, so this kind of sense of helplessness, you know,
so much connected. I mean, she sees having this feeling of helplessness connected to our ability to make a sacrifice.
Because this is like such a deep sense of sacrifice. Like just feel, actually, you have nothing to depend on.
Because it's such a deep sense of sacrifice because we have nothing else to depend on. So she likes this helplessness and sacrifice idea. Good. Mm-hmm. What else? Anything that you heard that stuck in your mind? We'll take one more reflection and then we'll see if there's any questions. One thing that you heard when you walk out tonight and your friend calls you on the phone and says, what were you doing tonight? You say, I was at some program. And then you say, well, who was it? You say, such and such was speaking. Said, what did he say? And what's the one thing that you're going to tell him? Yes.
When we surrender to Krishna, then we don't have to worry about our progress. Krishna takes care of us.
When we surrender to Krishna, we don't have to worry about our progress. Krishna takes care of us. Thank you very much. Now, let's see if you have any questions. They may be harder than reflections. Reflection just means you say back what you heard. But see if you can formulate a question and ask it. Do you have a question? Anything that you'd like to inquire more deeply about? Yes?
It's not a question, but a request. I've heard this on an audio about your pastime with regards to the Aarti and the Vrindavan temple.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you can tell us that, because I found it very inspiring in terms of my own book distribution. And I've said this to people many times.
Aarti in the Vrindavan temple?
Yeah.
How does that inspire you?
It's because of the mood of the book distribution where Prabhupada was just...
I see. Okay. So, and when the Krishna Balaram temple opened in 1975, I was there with our team. We had a team. It was called the BBT traveling party. And we had about 25 devotees, and we would go to various places around the world to train devotees how to do book distribution. And Prabhupada knew about and endorsed and supported this party. And he was very keen on book distribution. We knew that, so... we were being driven by his order to do that. Every year he asked us all to come to Vrindavan and also to Mayapur. So we'd go to Mayapur and then we'd all come to Vrindavan. And this year, of course, in 1975, we all came to Vrindavan for the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So, like with most construction projects, and especially those in the early days in India, things are just getting finished up at the last minute. There were a lot of anomalies still there in the temple. One, for instance, was there was a fan going over Gorni Thai's altar and nobody knew how to turn it off. There didn't happen to be any switch. It just cut. That was weird. And a lot of other things. Now, back up to 1975, there was no systematic training practically for anything, what to speak of deity worship. Prabhupada would give first initiation after 6 months and second initiation after a year. And some of us had been the recipients of that. And there were different ideas about how to worship deities in different places. Prabhupada had given some general instructions, but there were a lot of variables. Even today there's variables. Even with all our puttities we have together, that's just the way it is. There's so many combinations and permutations. In any case, I had been trained in a little bit of archana in Chicago temple, Shishi Kishore Kishori. But it was very simple. They had just very simple standards, very simple paraphernalia. And when I got to Vrindavan, our team leader, Tripurari Maharaj, he had just taken sannyas, he said, we're going to do the first artik. Is you need three. So he chose me, Suradas, my godbrother, and himself. And the first artik would start. Of course, Prabhupada did the first inaugural artik, but the first one that the devotees would do was then to, you know, was there to be had. So our leader felt very much that, you know, we're out there sacrificing, we're doing books here, we're going to go in and do it. So we went in, we hovered in the pujari room. And the artik would start whenever Prabhupada came in. So we were there, and a lot of senior devotees came in. Gurudas Prabhu came in. Maybe he was Swami at that time. He came in, and he said, I'm going to do artik. And Tripurari Maharaj was fending them all off. He said, no, we were here first. We're doing it. And meanwhile, Suradas Prabhu and I were a little nervous because we were thinking, like, this is a big stage here. I mean, all the pundits in Vrindavan are coming, Prabhupada's here. All the senior leaders are there, everything going on at once.
And we're like, no, let him do it, Maharaj. And he's like, nope, we were here first. He was holding his danda, I think. And then I remember Bhagavan came in. He's kind of rolled in like, you know, I'm going to do this. And then I said, nope, sorry. And he was like, what? And when Prabhupada came in, you know, it was uproarious. The place was packed. And we went on the altar. And I had never done a simultaneous artik, nor had I seen the likes of the kind of paraphernalia that were there on the tray. I mean, there were these really tall giwiks like this. We never saw those back in America. And I wasn't prepared for it. So Prabhupada came in and offered obeisances to Gorni Thai, then to Krishna Balaram, then to Shishi Radhashyama Sunar, and he stopped right there. And everybody lined up behind him. So there he is, all the leaders, all the pundits in Vrindavan, everything there. And I'm standing there looking. It's like, what do I do? So I literally fumbled through the artik. There was a stricture back in Chicago that Prajari shouldn't be seen. He should be standing behind the pillar. And Prabhupada apparently didn't share the same standard because he sent somebody on the altar to push me out further. I turned around with throwing the water, and you know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there, and I just happened to throw it, and it went right in his face, because I was nervous, and I was sort of bungling everything. And the next time I looked around, he was kind of looking at me, like, cleaning his glasses off. So I naturally felt mortified. Funny thing, Suradas Prabhu was telling me he was fumbling through at the other end. Because his fan was going above the altar, he couldn't light anything, and nothing was happening. And he said, ironically, he was thinking, well, at least Vaishya's, everyone's watching him. Meanwhile, he said, Gordy Tai was watching me. What was I thinking? So after the artik, what I call the fiasco, I was literally mortified. I went back to my room, and I was thinking, well, obviously Prabhupada's going to take away my Brahminical initiation, and I'll just, you know, I'll go to some faraway place to preach and just stay there forever. And I really was feeling like that, kind of just in the depths of a dark room somewhere. And Prabhupada had gone back to his room, and Rameshwar, who was overseeing our party at that time, and he had gone and talked to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, who are these doing artik? And he said, Prabhupada, these are your book distributors. Frontline book distributors are going out every day. This is your BBT party. He said, they're not very good pujaris, but they're book distributors. And Prabhupada said, that is all right. So he came to my room and told me that, what had happened. I said, really? But then I made a vow that I would learn how to do puja, and I you know, enter within that. But Prabhupada's mood was very forgiving, because he heard that the devotees on that altar were going out and doing book distribution, so he gave some compensation. I wouldn't want to repeat that, but it was a fact that was Prabhupada's mood. In many different ways, he had that mood. In fact, there was a controversy when Traveling Sankirtan first started in America about offering food. Because no one, up to the point of this first Traveling Sankirtan party in 1971, had taken food outside the temple. Everything came off the altar, and that's all the devotees would take. And then when they went to Traveling Sankirtan, they had to go in a grocery store, buy things, and offer it themselves in their van. And, you know, there was a controversy. Some people were saying, you know, you're just eating bhoga. That's not offered to the deities. You can't do that. So back forth at one. You know how intense it can get between devotees when they each have an opinion on something. So Keshava and Bhutatma. Keshava was the temple president. He's Karandar's brother. He was a very successful temple president. He started this book distribution revolution from San Francisco. He and Bhutatma, who would be the next in line temple president there, like a vice president, they drove all the way from San Francisco to L.A. 6 hours to talk to Prabhupada because he happened to be there. And he explained the whole situation to him. He said, no, you can offer anything. He said, because of the fire of Sankirtan. He said, you're preaching, you don't worry. You take whatever and you offer it. In fact, he said, you can offer to the books. He said, these books are deities. Just like in the temple we have our deities, you're traveling, these books are our deities. You can offer the bhoga right to the deities. And he said, don't worry about it. It will all be burned up in the fire and sacrifice of Sankirtan.
John.
So again and again, Prabhupada followed the mood of his Guru Maharaj in this, who would glorify in front of all the sannyasis a simple brahmachari who would go out and distribute one magazine for one paisa, the Nadia Prakash, out in the neighborhood. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would bring attention to that. So this was Prabhupada's mood. Any last question?
There's one.
Yes.
Manjari.
Oh, yes.
Is Srila Prabhupada was sannyas, but as Grihastha, can we still have the same mood of surrender and sacrifice in his footsteps?
Yes. If one is, Prabhupada says in several places in his books, if you're in the Grihastha ashram, but you have the mood of surrender, no difference. Because it's a matter of consciousness. In every ashram, our main duty is to surrender to Krishna. And mothers who are taking care of children, they're supporting the household so that the preaching can go on. Or children who take up the mood of Sankirtan. Or Grihastha men who are working very hard and at the same time sacrificing whatever time they have to balance out their service with their family life, all these things. This is what Prabhupada said is the mood that is non-different from sannyas. After all, sannyas means knowing how to engage everything in Krishna's service. That's the main... this is the hallmark of the sannyasi, seeing how to engage everything in Krishna's service. So... my wife and I, Nirakula, live in a house, but we conduct all our activities based on how to increase the Sankirtan movement locally at our temple we congregate at. It's called ISKCON of Silicon Valley. And we give our life and soul to that temple through whatever service, humble services we can offer. And our only purpose in life is to really travel around and try to expand the Sankirtan movement by working with devotees who are interested in doing that. And that's actually the most fulfilling of all services. For me and my wife, when we go around, we interact with communities all over the world. And it's so exciting, like these small communities where devotees come together in somebody's house and you don't have like huge overhead to maintain of temple and things like that. The devotees... The grihasthas, the men, women, children, they can all come together and cooperate from their neighborhoods, the houses, and meet at a certain time every month to go out and do some book distribution together. And they can organize so many things because all of you are so expert in all the things that you do. I mean, I can just look at you and I know who you are. You've got unlimited talent, unlimited untapped talent. That's being used for various things. But for the Sankirtan movement, the sky's the limit. Each one of you could start a Hare Krishna movement by yourself. You have so much potential. And so when all of you come together as a unit in neighborhoods like this and decide, you know, we're going to form a team to go out and distribute books together in a fun way that's safe, that engages everybody, including the kids, women, children, men, everybody together, then this is the most exciting aspect of the Sankirtan movement. And as a strategy, there are literally millions of us, like us, right here in this room, around the world. And if each of us just do a little bit in the part of book distribution, as Prabhupada had envisioned, we will create a tidal wave, a tsunami of books going all over the world, benedicting everybody in the world. And so this will fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So
I'm just saying. Thank you very much. And thanks to our hosts tonight. Who are our hosts, by the way?
Oh,
Hare Krishna. This is so wonderful. I like this. What year was this house built? 19... 1950s. This is a charming place. It's a good Sankirtan Central. Hare Krishna. Okay. Just keep that pointed away from the...
Hi Krishna, everybody. Just a few announcements I wanted to share with everybody. Since we all had the good fortune to have the association of His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu today, he's written this beautiful book called Our Family Business, and I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to read some of the appreciation shown by other spiritual leaders within the community, and that will just endorse what His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu has been talking, that it's not just Srila Prabhupada. In fact, all his disciples have a similar view who actually have captured the mood of Srila Prabhupada. So Jayapadaka Maharaj says that our family business takes one through the Hare Krishna explosion in book distribution in a most compelling and thrilling manner from one who was a key player in it. From the very first page of this book, you will not want to put it down. It's surely a must-have. So, His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu has been personally going out on book distribution for last 45 years. And now he's been so instrumental and inspiring figure across ISKCON communities that wherever he travels, he does seminars for Sankirtan. This Saturday, we had a seminar which was attended by more than 100 devotees at Krishna Avanti School called Our Family Business. And I know some of you were there, Prabhuji was there, and quite a few devotees were there. Gopal Krishna Maharaj says that book is for those who distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, who want to distribute them, but don't yet feel sufficiently inspired to do, or who have never been exposed to this service. So, personally for me, when I read this book, I used to go on book distribution, but after reading the book, I had a very different vision, different dimension of book distribution, because this book not only just talks about that you go out on the street and distribute, but it talks about some of the important laws and principles on how you can base the book on base your own sadhana and then go out and do the book distribution. And then Niranjan Swami says, in our family business, Vaisheshika Prabhu has brilliantly captured the spirit that drove Srila Prabhupada's disciples beyond all limits to please His Divine Grace by publishing and distributing His books by millions all over the world. Reader, be aware, this book has the potential to not only rekindle that same spirit in the hearts of those who live only to elicit Srila Prabhupada's smile, but to ignite that same spirit in the hearts of those who were not even aware that that's what this life is all about. That's Niranjan Maharaj for all of you. And His Holiness Radhakant Maharaj, with every page I read, I can feel the contagious spirit of gratitude and compassion that springs from the heart of Vaisheshika Das. And finally, Shivram Maharaj. 40 years ago, I watched in wonder as people became enchanted by Vaisheshika Prabhu at Ohare International Airport and bought books. The consciousness, philosophy and technique behind that enchantment has appeared as the words in this book, Reader, Be Enchanted. That's Shivram Maharaj.
So Shivram Maharaj and I used to go out together to O'Hare Airport, which you so nicely called Ohare. That's what Prabhupada called it too.
So this is really a masterpiece. I would highly recommend that if you don't have a copy, please take a copy, and His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu will sign it for you. And be ready when you take it. Be ready, because this book will do wonders in your life. It has done wonders in many people's life here, but personally for me, this book has changed my life, because ever since me and my wife have read this book, We feel it different way, we think differently, and then we do things differently, actually. So please take the book. It's only for £10. We have a discounted price while Vaisheshika Prabhu is here. So take an advantage. Read the book. You'll find your sadhana will become stronger. You'll find, as it says, that even may you may not feel so inspired to go out. I haven't been out, but just by starting to read it, you can start to come out. And there is a great opportunity on this coming Saturday at the Manor, Bhaktivedanta Manor. We have a monthly Sankirtan festival. I'm sure, how many of you have heard of the monthly Sankirtan festival which has been happening? Oh, all of you, wonderful. So please don't miss this opportunity, because the founder of monthly Sankirtan festival, which is none other than Vaisheshika Prabhu, which started in US and it's going all over the world, Pune and many other yatras in Canada, Toronto, many other places. So at the manor, this will be our 9th monthly Sankirtan festival. So don't miss it. It's on Saturday at 10 o'clock. We'll be meeting in Prabhupada's room, and there will be some training, some more inspiration from Vaisheshika Prabhu, and he will personally take us out on door-to-door and street-to-street distribution. And finally, sometimes, you know, we come across Sankirtan, we think, oh, you know what, I can go, but I don't want to do streets. I'd rather do something different. So at Manor, we are working on a ways where we can make Sankirtan accessible for everybody. So somebody may want to engage their children in a productive activity or develop the compassionate spirit in them. We have a kids Sankirtan party, which my wife, Vindarika Devi Dasi, she's looking after that. So if you have children who you want to come and take part, there will be an organized kids Sankirtan in MSF as well. But we are separately developing children. ISV has more than 150 children who go out regularly on book distribution. And when you speak to them, when you hear their realization, we had that privilege sometimes when we hear them online. Their realizations are so, so strong that they are life-changing when you hear them. So they are becoming really street smarts. You know, Maharaj says that it's much better than MBA, and I totally believe that. So you have that opportunity to engage the children. And then we have a door-to-door, which is Keshav Gokulananda Prabhu and Kalavati Mataji is heading for the Bhaktivedanta Manor congregation. And they will give you a training. You can go out every Friday. Some Matajis and Prabhus go out on book distribution for about an hour, just for an hour. And they're posting amazing experiences on Flying Books, which is our Manor website. So you can read those and come and take part in that. We have Smart Boxes, which is about to start. Radhadasi Mataji is just sitting at the back, who's also leading the Gita project for the whole of UK, where the Gita is being placed in prison, Gita is being placed in motels and hotels. So this is an opportunity where you can distribute books while you're sitting at home. All you'll have to do is call some people, take some appointment, and if you want to help, travel, put the books, she'll be more than happy to give you the training, explain you everything. And it is a very, very structured way she's trying to do, and she's been doing it for many, many years, this service. So you can get involved in that service, and if you want to help sponsor a Smart Box, Niket Prabhu and Radhadasi Mataji both are here. They'll be happy to speak to you after the program. There is a Gomatsya program where we are trying to distribute Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam sets and Chaitanya Charitamrita in a very organized and a systematic way. So you can get involved in that. So that, like this, there are many, many projects. Come along, you'll have a guide, you'll have a mentor, you'll have a friend. And more importantly, you'll be a part of a thriving community, which, as Prabhuji said, it is going to go places. Because Sankirtan movement cannot be stopped. It is started by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's predicted it is going to be there for 10,000 years. But if we can take part, it will be our own privilege and it will be for our own purification. So I humbly beg all of you that please take part in this yajna. Come to the Sankirtan festival on Saturday. Feel the magic for yourself and then rub it onto others. Hare Krishna.
Go pray Valande Adibo. Careful, careful, careful.
Here. Also, I just want to mention that it's not my book. I gave it to the BBT right after I wrote it. I didn't write it for profit. I wrote it to disseminate whatever I had gained over the years from hearing from Prabhupada, his instructions on book distribution, to disseminate the history of book distribution, not just recently, but ancient history in our Sampradaya, and also to pass on any of the things that I had learned so far in about book distribution, to see that it would spark that spirit in the world. So whatever books you take, our family business, it actually goes towards your book score here in London, and the Lakshmi goes back to the Yatra. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo. Vanchakalpadrusha Kripasinabhavacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Nantakoti Vaishnavindiki Jai.
Natchariyar Marman. Hey! Natchariyar Marman. Natchariyar Marman.